From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you once again, and welcome to another Let the Bible Speak broadcast. It's our pleasure to be with you, and our privilege to have you listening in. This week on Let the Bible Speak, we are departing from our ongoing studies in Psalm 138 in order to look at a wonderful passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 10 on the incarnation of the Son of God. It's one of my favorite themes, and I trust the Lord will richly bless the study to your heart. So stay tuned, and I believe you will learn something that will do you good and give you a fresh appreciation of the magnificence of God's mercy in sending us His Son. Do remember the ongoing offer of the booklet Election and Reprobation, and also that you can receive our free full-color quarterly magazine. In this issue, it deals with a number of cults, for example, Scientology, Mormonism, the self-styled Jehovah's Witnesses, and you can get your copy by writing to us or by calling us toll-free. The mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and the toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. We do appreciate the large number of people who write to us and who call us to express their appreciation of the broadcast and to ask for the literature that we are offering. We trust that you'll be in touch this week. If you'd also take the time, we would love you to visit our website. I think you'll find a lot there to interest you at letthebiblespeakradio.com. letthebiblespeakradio.com, or simply ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the radio. letthebiblespeakradio.com. And there you'll find our web store, various books that I think you'll find of interest to you, and various issues addressed that I think the Lord will bless to your heart. We look forward to hearing from you either by letter, email, by telephone, or by visiting us at our website. And now for one of the greatest of all Christmas carols, Charles Wesley's Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you.
Yesterday I spoke of the crusade by the University of Kansas to stigmatize the doctrine of creation as a mere myth. Also marked down as a myth was the theory of intelligent design, that is, the belief that the phenomena of the universe around us, whichever scientific discipline we follow, can be best understood as evidence that the universe came about not by accident, but by design. We can understand that atheists and secular humanists should furiously attack such a conclusion. After all, it undermines their carefully erected house of cards and exposes their unscientific zeal for what is fundamentally a religious cause, the religion of secular humanism. But what shall we say when the Vatican joins the argument, not on the side of those who see evidence of design in the universe, but on the side of the atheists? A November 19, 2005 report out of Vatican City says, and I quote, "The Vatican's chief astronomer said today that intelligent design isn't science and doesn't belong in science classrooms. The latest high-ranking Catholic official to enter the evolution debate in the United States." Close the quote. This Vatican astronomer is a Jesuit priest, George Coyne, and he was adamant that if intelligent design is to be taught in schools, it must be as religion or as cultural history. In fact, his statement is almost a rerun of that of the University of Kansas. Now, why would the Vatican weigh in so heavily against those Bible believers in the United States who are vigorously challenging the ruling dogma of godless evolution? It is impossible to enter into the minds of Vatican officials, but from other statements from the same source, I have come to certain conclusions, and I think it would be safe to say that Rome has a fear of people taking the Bible seriously, that is, of actually believing it. She has calculated that if her people start taking the Bible seriously enough to believe it and to use it to fight the scientific orthodoxy of evolution, they will almost certainly go even further and question Rome's accepted and equally unbiblical dogmas. I have no doubt that the Jesuit priest who heads the Vatican Observatory is a convinced evolutionist. He's defending his own supposedly scientific position. But even a Jesuit astronomer surely is supposed at least to pay lip service to the truth of Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God." If they do, then there is evidence of divine design in nature, and science can't ignore it. However, it appears that the Vatican feels that it has more to fear from Bible believers than from atheistic scientists. And in the final analysis, I suppose that that's right. There can be no denying that if Roman Catholics are set free to come to the Bible without the mental shackles placed on them by their church and its vaunted but wholly illusory authority, they will prove the truth of Christ's words in John 8, verse 32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So, every time you read or hear of another anti-biblical statement emanating from the Vatican, take it as a call to be all the more diligent in introducing your Roman Catholic friends and neighbors to the Bible, the Word of God, the Word that can set them free. Thank you. This week on Let the Bible Speak, we are taking time off from our studies in Psalm 138 to think on the subject of the Incarnation. And instead of taking the gospel narratives of the birth of Christ, we are looking at Hebrews chapter 10, which is a tremendous theological statement regarding Christ taking a body. Here the Apostle Paul takes us back to the words of the psalmist, the prophetic words of the psalmist in the 40th Psalm. The Messiah says, "A body thou hast prepared me." As I've said, this is the statement of the Son of God to his Father, and it's a statement of very, very far-reaching significance. Now, in yesterday's broadcast, we got as far as seeing the statement as a covenant statement. Now we take it up with the thought of the preparation of the body of Christ. And I think you'll find that that is truly a magnificent subject for our meditation.
Here you've got one of those scriptures then that show you God the Father and His Son in the agreement of the covenant of redemption. As we will, I hope, have time to note toward the end of the message, here we have a witness to the ultimate purpose of God, especially regarding man. I think I will be able to show you, though today it will have to be in summary fashion, that there is a great deal of misunderstanding, even among Orthodox believers, regarding the purpose of God for man. Here I think you will see it, that when the Son of God says, "Thou hast prepared a body," and he's talking about a human body, "Thou hast prepared a body for me, your eternal Son," you can see that that is certainly unspeakable condescension on the part of the Son, but it betokens an unspeakable exaltation for man, that the Son of God should become a man and God would prepare him a body. I want us to think of that text today and to think particularly of the preparation, the perfection, and the purpose in the forming of the body of Christ. We think first of the divine preparation in forming the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. "A body thou hast prepared for me." That's a significant statement, containing a message of the first importance to the entire gospel revelation. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ, put here, I believe, for his entire human nature, body and soul. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ was the direct, special creation of God. When it says, "A body thou hast prepared me," that's the very verb that is used in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, where speaking of the creation of the world, it says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God." The words were framed, fashioned, made by the Word of God. That is the very word that is used here concerning the body and the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 11 verse 3, it describes the miracle of the creation of the world. Here in Hebrews 10 and verse 5, it describes another creative miracle. And what a miracle it is. Let us not back away from this. I know that there are various segments of the evangelical church that are very weak in this. And they think they're being extra orthodox. In actual fact, they're undermining the very heart of the gospel. Let us not back away from this. The body and the entire humanity of Jesus Christ are not divine but human. The body and humanity of Jesus Christ are truly human. The body and humanity of Jesus Christ had a beginning. They are not eternal. They had a beginning. The body and humanity of Jesus Christ were the creation of God. He made them. But the miracle is that in the moment of that initial creation in the womb of the Virgin Mary and of her substance, that creation was set in union with the eternal Creator. So that while I have said the body and the humanity of Christ are not eternal, they had a beginning. Yet the union that was set in place by that act of God is everlasting and it is irreversible. Dr. Barrett mentioned in prayer this morning about Christ's ministry during his earthly incarnation, his incarnation when he was in humiliation, and then his incarnation now that he is in glory. He is still in the body. He is still united with that perfect humanity. I want you to understand, this is a glorious miracle. Here we have a reference not just to a creation, but the creation of a body, of a human being, from the substance of the Virgin. I want to emphasize that. This is historic Protestant. I have to be honest and say, go way back beyond the Protestant Reformation. This is historic Nicene Christianity. This is apostolic Christianity. I have no patience whatsoever for the innovations of the Darbyite dispensational school that dreamed up the monstrosity of a heavenly humanity. I have no patience with the error that was propagated by no less a figure than the late Dr. Dehan, and giving it an authority of a medical degree when it has no medical truth behind it, and it certainly has no biblical truth behind it, that the humanity of Jesus Christ was something created ex nihilo and placed in the womb of the Virgin, and she contributed nothing to the humanity any more than a bottle carrying water contributes to the water. Were that so, we would have no Savior. We would have no God-man. We would have God coming in something that looked like man, but was not man. He is bone of our bone. He is flesh of our flesh. And if he's not, we have no Savior. He was born, made, as Paul says, of a woman. Made of a woman. Of her substance. That which was born of her. Now, I cannot explain that miracle. If I could, it wouldn't be a miracle, would it? I can't explain that miracle. But I can appreciate the wisdom of God. And I can appreciate the plan of God in doing this. That he provided for us a man who could act for us. And yet such a man as was in union personally with his eternal Son, and could therefore act for God and bring together God and man in his own perfect person and through his own perfect merit. Oh, he was born, but he was born of a virgin. Born of a virgin. Not of natural generation. not the son of Joseph, except by adoption? His substance truly human, made of a woman, but yet by the miraculous power of the Spirit of God, as the angel said to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now here's something that may confuse you. I don't say it to confuse you, but in a way I hope it confuses you. I always like people to get in over their head when they're studying deity. Mr. Brain may well remember when we were studying theology years ago, we were dealing with the immensity of God, the greatness and the glory of God. I told that class what I felt for myself, that I hope you will be overwhelmed. I trust that this will blow your brain. I trust that you will feel you're sinking in a great ocean of the truth about God that you can't really hope to get a handle on. Because if you're overwhelmed by the greatness of God, you will never move on at any other important part of the whole system.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. www.thewordofgod.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.